Morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 13, and in the Church Bibles, that's on page 1174. So that's Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me, to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. Lovely to see you all. Before I try to tell you about what Paul's talking to us, let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for bringing us here today to worship you, to praise you, to listen to your word. Please let my words today be a true reflection of your word in what today's section of the Bible is trying to tell us. Please give us understanding of your word, Lord, and show us how to apply it every day in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, we continue in our trawl through Ephesians. Today's reading, as Paul very nicely told us, is chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. It can be found on page 1174 of your church Bibles. Last time I spoke to you, a few weeks ago, we were looking at Ephesians 1. And Paul again began that section and this one with the same phrase, for this reason. And for this reason is what? His reason this time is very similar. Specifically, he's addressing the Gentiles that we saw in last week's talk. And I mentioned in this passage just prior to our talk today. He's praying for the Gentiles who have become believers, and they've joined with the Jewish believers in Christ. And as it says in Ephesians 2, they are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And Mike explained last week that they, the Jewish and the Gentile Christians, have been built together in Christ. They've joined together because of Jesus. And wonderfully, the same goes for us if we follow Jesus. We are joined together in Christ. I think it's already been mentioned in our talks on Ephesians over the last few weeks that Paul is writing this letter while he's under arrest in Rome. He's in house arrest, but he's still under arrest. And that was for preaching about Christ. That's why they arrested him. That's why he's always arrested. And even though he's been arrested and imprisoned for preaching about Christ, he's still doing it. He's still spreading the good news. Good news is what gospel means. And he's still at it. He's teaching from prison. He's sending letters to all these embryo churches to encourage them, to keep them with Christ, to tell them about Christ. And the religious leaders in Jerusalem felt threatened by Christ's teaching. And they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. More for them. They pressured the Romans to arrest Paul and bring him to trial for treason for causing rebellion amongst the Jews. It's not what he was doing, but didn't they do the same thing to Jesus? Now, during the hearing that Paul had, and he did get a proper hearing, right at the end of it, he appealed for his case to be heard by the emperor, by Caesar. And if you appeal to Caesar as a Roman citizen, you go off to Rome to be heard by Caesar, and he comes to his decision. And that's what was happening. He was awaiting trial. And you can read all about that in Acts 28. And it's your homework for this week. But don't worry, it's not a lot of homework. Acts 28 is verses 16 to 31. It's only six verses. And let's face it, it's much, much better than watching that horrible thing about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, isn't it? We were at a Barbie last week with my daughter and grandchildren, and suddenly I realised that the three grandchildren were talking about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard and the trial. And they've been watching it and listening to every scrap of it ever since it started. And I said to them, why? You know, if it's true, do you care? But still, and I told them, go and read the Bible. They don't, but never mind. So you can. That's your homework, all right? Acts 28, 16 to 31. So, even though Paul was under house arrest, he still maintained his firm belief that God was in control of all that was happening to him. And he was. God's in control of everything. We don't often know why, but he's in control. So, do you think you would have such a strong faith in that same situation? I doubt it myself. Me, not you, me. Do those circumstances make you wonder if God is in control of this lost world? Please be assured he is. It may not always seem it, but he definitely is. It made me think there was an Asian lady, a Pakistani lady called Asia Bibi. I'm sure you've heard of her. She was Christian, and she was accused of blasphemy in Pakistan 8 years ago. And 8 years ago, she had a trial. There was no foundation to that accusation, by the way, none at all. She hadn't blasphemed. They'd say she was blasphemed against the Quran. She hadn't. But she spent those 8 years in a horrible prison on death row because they condemned her to death. She was awaiting execution. And all that time, she was praying. She didn't lose her faith. And praise the Lord, she was released last year, and she was flown to Canada and reunited with her family. She's still under government protection there because the Pakistani Muslims have vowed to kill her. They want to go over there and kill her. So she's under protection. Two of her supporters in Pakistan, in the Pakistan government, were Christians, and they were trying to help her. They were both shot dead because of their support. One, by his own bodyguards, was shot 27 times because they were Christians, basically. And that lady, that lovely lady, Asia Bibi, she retained her faith in God all through her ordeal, and she still does, and she's planning to become an ambassador for Christianity. Now, just like Paul, even though they've tried her, and they've done horrible things to her, she still wants to go out and tell people all about our dear Lord Jesus. She's one of thousands of persecuted Christians around this world. Some in prison, some have lost their lives. They've all suffered or are suffering for their faith. And I ask myself, what would I do in the same situation? And please God, I will never have to know. Something to think about. Anyway, Paul remembers that no matter what happens, God directs the world's affairs. In our reading today, verse 2 says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." That means there's a special stewardship, a trust that's been committed to Paul and has been given. He's been assigned the special work of preaching the good news to the Gentiles. He was preaching to everyone, but he was essentially preaching to the gods, to the Gentiles, and that's what God told him to do. And God's great plan was shown to Paul in a revelation, and it says in verses 5 and 6, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs, together with Israel, the Gentiles and the Jews, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. God's plan wasn't revealed to previous generations, not because God wanted to keep something from his people, but because he wanted to reveal it to everyone at the right time, at God's perfect timing. God's plan was to have the Jews and the Gentiles united in one body. That one body is the church, our church. We're united with all the churches worldwide. It was known in the Old Testament that the Gentiles would receive salvation. It did say that, and it says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6 says, he says, "Is it too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." So even in the Old Testament, the Gentiles were there to be saved. It was never revealed in the Old Testament, however, that all the Gentiles and the Jewish believers would become equal under one body in Christ. That didn't come until the New Testament. And the equality was accomplished when Jesus destroyed the living wall of hostility and created the new one in humanity. And if you look at chapter 2 of our book today, verses 14 and 15 of Ephesians, it says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace." So when Paul became a servant of the gospel, God gave him the ability to share the gospel of Christ, effectively. And verse 7 says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." God's grace, a gift, freely given. He didn't earn it. It was God's grace. So none of you are apostles, I don't think. None of you are evangelists. We're all disciples because we all love Jesus, but we're not apostles. God will give you opportunities to talk to other people about Christ. You're not always sure the opportunity is there, and it's not always easy. And you may think, well, how am I supposed to go about it? I like to preach. I like to stand up here talking to you. When you doze off, I shout a bit louder, but I do like preaching. I don't find it easy to introduce Jesus into a conversation. It just doesn't come to me easily. If there's a point blank opportunity to talk about Jesus, if someone asks a question about Jesus, if there's a challenge about God, why are you a Christian? I can usually find a reasonable response. But I'm not comfortable with suddenly making a conversation about Jesus. Some people find it really easy. And I've seen Dear Jilly do exactly that in so many situations with so many different people. The other day, this is the latest one, our neighbour next door, her son is going through a really bad time. He's got loads of problems, and I'm not going to bore you with them. But he came to the door asking for something while his mum was away. He's 24 years old. He didn't know where to turn, and he said he was really upset. He was crying. And he said, I don't know what's happened. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Jilly started talking to him about Jesus. And they had a conversation about Jesus, how Jesus saves. He does know Jesus because his brother, he's a Roman Catholic and he goes to church all the time. But Jesus was talking to Liam about Jesus. And she had that conversation, and I so admire the way she can do it, because I don't have that ability to do that. I find it very difficult. But lots of you, I'm sure, can do it. But there are other ways. We share God's word in Sunday school. We've not got Sunday school on this week, but the word is shared in Sunday school. You could always invite people to come along to church with you. Share the word that way. You could find an opportunity to share your testimony. I do like doing that, but again, it's because I like talking. Well, I don't like talking per se. I know like talking when people don't answer back. But you can share your testimony, and I've done that a few times. How you found Jesus, how you came to him, what he's done for you, how wonderful he is. You could give someone a book that's touched you. It's God's word. In Bible studies a few years ago, I think about 7 or 8 years ago now, we were using a video series called Book by Book, and it was going through every book of the Bible over a course of 4 or 5 weeks on video, and then we talked about it afterwards. And they always had a guest evangelist there. And 1 week they had a guest evangelist, and his name was Stephen Lungu. And he wrote a biography. This guy, South Africa, at 3 years old, his mum took him to the centre of their village, little village, into the town square. Well, it was a little bit bigger than a village, but it was a town square. He was three. He had his baby sister in his arms and his 2-year-old sibling next to him. I don't know whether it was a boy or a girl. And his mum deserted him, left him. She was an only parent, and she took him to the town square and left him. And they stood there for hours and hours until eventually the police picked them up. And eventually they went to a family, aunts and uncles and things. But he then went on to join gangs, and he got into all sorts of trouble, and he wrote a book eventually because he became a Christian. And this book is absolutely amazing. It's called Out of the Black Shadows, and it's by Stephen Lungu. And it touched me so much. I cry when I read this book, but it touched me so much that I bought dozens of these and I've given them away, and I've still got half a dozen. And I bought two today. If anyone wants one, they're more than welcome. And if both of these go and you still want one, tell me and I'll get you one. It is such an amazing book. This guy, the way Jesus helps him and the way it shines through, he was going to blow up a Christian meeting marquee. Him and his friends went into this marquee. They were about 13 years old with petrol bombs. And they waited. When they got there, it was half empty, so they waited till it was full, because while they're waiting for it to fill up, there was a guy at the front telling them about Jesus. And he said, for 10 minutes I listened to Jesus. He said, and that was my mistake. It wasn't a mistake, because he found Jesus, and from there on it goes through this book. So if you want one, you're more than welcome. It's the most amazing book. So if you found a book that you think is wonderful, give one to your friends. Most of the time, you won't know whether your efforts have borne fruit or not. That doesn't matter. You've sown the seed. Our dear God nurtures it and makes it grow. And so you don't have to know. All you have to do is tell someone about Jesus. God will give you the opportunities. He'll give you the ability. And he'll give you the courage to do it. You have to make yourself available to God as his servant, whenever the opportunity presents itself. Paul, in the second book of Corinthians, one of his letters to the Corinthians, he actually said he wasn't a good speaker. When Jesus, on the road to Damascus, he had that amazing revelation, he basically said, why me? I'm not a good speaker. But look what Paul's done, all these amazing letters in the Bible. Moses, when God said to him, I want you to go and free my people, again, told God he wasn't a good speaker, go and find someone else. He actually argued with God and said, I can't do it. And we all know what happened there as well. Luke says in his gospel, chapter 12, verse 12, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at the time what you should say. The Holy Spirit will help you. God will help you. It's our duty, if at all possible, to tell people about Jesus. Romans 10, one of my favourite verses in the Bible. I've got lots of favourite verses in the Bible. But Romans 10, verses 14 and 15 says, how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. So basically, if no one's told you about it, you can't know. So go out and tell someone. Focus on the other person, on his or her needs, and God will help. In verse 8, Paul says, when Paul describes himself as less than the least of all God's people, he means that without God's help, he would never have been able to do God's work. So that's what he's saying. God will help you to do what you've got to do. God chose him to share the Bible with the Gentiles, and he gave him the power to do it. God's choice, God's help. If we feel our role is minor, we may be right. Except we've forgotten one great big difference that God makes. Doesn't matter whether you think you can't do it. Doesn't matter whether you think you're not doing it very well. God is helping you, and he wants to use you. You may not know it yet, but it's all in his plan. That's what he's going to do. But you draw on his power, you do your part, and once you found out, once the opportunity arises, faithfully perform the special role God has given you to play in his wonderful plan. So coming to the end of our verses today, verses 10 and 11 says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal promise that he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. These rulers and authorities in heavenly realms are angels, and they're witnesses of all these events. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says that even angels look into all these things. They're witnesses of what's going on. And that passage is not easy to, well, it wasn't easy for me to grasp straight away. And quite often, if I don't understand what's being said in a particular passage, I check other Bible translations. And I've got another one called The Message. It's another Bible translation called The Message. And it's very up-to-date English. And those verses in The Message say, through followers of Jesus, like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even among angels. And that made it clearer for me. I do recommend The Message. It's not a Bible that I would read every day. I like the NIV and the ESV. So I don't read the Message every day, but every now and again, The Message comes through with something that gives you a ping moment, and you think, oh yeah, I've got it now. So it's worth reading every now and again. Makes it clearer. So verses 11 to 13 tell us that all this is proceeding along the lines planned all along by God, and then executed in Jesus, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. That's Paul's sufferings. And he's telling them, don't worry about it. I don't mind, so don't you. And verse 12 tells us that it's an awesome privilege to be able to approach God with freedom and confidence. And it is. Most of us would be apprehensive in his presence, in the presence of a powerful ruler, especially in the presence of God. But thanks to Jesus, by faith, we can enter God's presence through prayer. That's what we will do in eternity. We will be in God's presence, and it will be wonderful. It's what we touched on last time I spoke to you. We get to go know God by prayer. We know we'll be welcomed with open arms because we're God's children through Jesus. Through Jesus. Don't be afraid of God. Talk to him about everything. He's waiting to hear from you. He's listening, and he'll answer you in his own good time. Paul said that his suffering should make the Ephesians feel honoured. Paul's suffering should make the Ephesians feel honoured. That's what which are your glory means. So if Paul's suffering should make the Ephesians feel honoured, how about Jesus' suffering? How honoured do you feel for that? He suffered for us, and he's given us eternity. If Paul had not preached the gospel, he'd not been in jail. But then the Ephesians would not have heard the good news that he'd been covered. He'd been converted. Just as a mother endures the pain of childbirth to bring a new life into the world, Paul endured the pain of persecution to bring new believers to Christ. Obeying Christ is never easy. He calls on you to take the cross and follow him. That's what it says in Matthew 16:24. You've got to be willing to endure the pain so that God's message of salvation can reach the entire world. You are going to be, when you try to talk about Jesus, some people are going to be nasty to you. Jill used to talk to a guy in her office she worked with about Jesus all the time. And he used to ridicule her and poop her. She still talked to him about it. And she talks all the time, doesn't she? But he's a lovely man. We know him really well. But he was so horrible where Jesus is concerned. But that's unfortunately what you've got to expect in this world. We should feel honoured to have suffered and sacrificed so that others might reap the benefit. That's what Paul said. People have suffered to spread the gospel right from the time Jesus died for us to save us on that cross. The least we can do is tell as many people about Jesus how we were saved. Jesus died for us. Tell people why and how. And why not start with, well, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then follow it up with, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Father, you gave us your Son out of love for the world, that through him we can have eternal life. Please, Lord, help us to know you more every day. Help us to tell those that don't know you yet all about you, so that they may find the way to eternal life too. Give us the words, opportunities, chances, ways and means to tell others all about you. We love and worship you, Lord, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't forget the book if you want it.